Hey guys, welcome to my podcast. My prayer is that you are encouraged, transformed, and equipped through each episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Patty Valenzuela podcast. And once again, we're coming to you guys, and we want to speak to you today out of the topic of fiery trials. I think there's not a person that is watching me or listening to me, and we've all had trials. We're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or we are going into a trial. And so we need to understand what those scriptures tell us about how experiencing, encountering, and overcoming any trial, any attack of the enemy, any trial as far as something that you're going through, difficulties that you're having to endure, deserts, you know, storms, all kinds of situations that you find yourself in, you know, where we would maybe label it a fiery trial. You know, it's like you're in the fire, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who underwent a fiery trial, or like Daniel in the lion's den, who underwent a fiery trial. Or if you look at the life of David, you know, who was almost murdered by Saul, who underwent a fiery trial. And you look at all the people in the Bible and all the great men and women of God that had to encounter, face, and overcome and have the victory against a fiery trial. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 14. And the word of the Lord says in 1 Peter 4, "Beloved friends," Passion Translation, "if life gets extremely difficult with many tests, don't be bewildered as though something strange were overwhelming you. Instead, continue to rejoice, for you, in a measure, have shared in the sufferings of the Anointed One, so that you can share in the revelation of His glory and celebrate with even greater gladness." So here, Peter gives us instructions about when we're going through extremely difficult tests. And then he says, when you face these fiery trials, there are things that we ought to do. And he calls them fiery trials. And he tells us, you know, how do we overcome these difficulty, extremely difficult times? And maybe perhaps you're watching me and you're or listening to me and you are going through an extremely difficult trial, an extremely difficult situation that sometimes maybe we've faced it for 2 years or 1 year, or you're coming up on 3 years that you have faced this trial. Sometimes it can get overwhelming. Sometimes people grow weary in the trials. Sometimes people become very discouraged in the trials. And you know, my husband and I, we always watch, we've watched it many times, Band of Brothers. And I love that series. It was an HBO series, and we continually watch it because there are so many lessons. And it's you know, when you look at it, it's World War II, and there were a lot of battles, and these Band of Brothers that had to overcome many of the battles during World War II. And when you look at the soldiers, and it's actually, and they actually walk out this entire, you know, the battles that they went through. And it was a Band of Brothers. They got really close because they had to fight in World War II. And when they enter into Germany and they have to hold the lines and all that. And I probably enjoy it very much because you start to see the different type of soldiers and the characteristics of each soldier and how each soldier overcame each battle. And you watch on some of these incredible soldiers and how some of them became weary in the battle. With reason, it was a physical battle. And some of them got so discouraged, so they were overwhelmed by the battle that you watch them and they weren't physically unable to fight. But some of them, one in particular that comes to mind, when you look at him, he was an incredible soldier. He knew how to fight well. However, seeing his buddies die, seeing the battle and everything that he's been through, you know, you look at his leadership skills and he was no longer the leader that he started out to be. And I'm wondering, in the spirit realm, the Bible says like it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. How many of you perhaps have been through a fiery trial or you've been through a difficult test, perhaps many tests, and that can leave you really weathered and that can tire people out. So when you watch people, you either are going to come out of that fire with more stamina, with more strength. You're going to come out better on the other side, or you're going to get lost in the fire. Or perhaps you're going to grow weary and discouraged and probably want to retreat or go backwards. There are so many people that get stuck. But I believe that one of my assignments is to really pull people out and come to the other side so that you really come out better than you were before. We'll hear Peter, mind you, who was martyred. Peter, who had to overcome many trials. Peter, in the book of Acts, yes, we see Peter, the great Peter that in one message, you know, was able to bring thousands of people to the feet of Jesus. We see the Peter that healed many people with his shadow. And we see that side to him, but he really had to overcome a lot of trials and testings. They were persecuted during that time to the point where he became martyr. Peter, the one that said, I am not worthy to die on a cross like my Savior. Turn the cross upside down and I'll die upside down. Peter had to overcome so many trials and persecutions. And he's giving him his instructions. And he says, hey, beloved friends, he starts out by saying, if life gets extremely difficult, because perhaps you're listening and watching me, and we can all say sometimes life can get extremely difficult. He said, with many tests, trials, tribulations, persecutions, things that we have to face and overcome. Look what he's telling us. He said, don't be bewildered as though something strange were overwhelming you. And I'd like to pause there because it gives us instructions on how to overcome extremely difficult trials and tests. He said, don't be bewildered. And that's my first point. Do not be bewildered. What does bewildered mean? And what is Peter trying to tell me? I mean, we're listening to a guy and reading this incredible man of God that has been through so many things. I think he's got a lot to say. And he says, don't be bewildered, first of all. When you face difficulties, don't be bewildered. Well, let's define bewildered. The word bewildered means to be baffled. The word of bewildered means to be puzzled. It means to be distracted. The word bewildered means to be confused. So Peter is saying, when you face trials and when you face difficulties and when you face so many tests and fiery trials in your life, don't be baffled by it. Don't be distracted by it. Don't be confused by it. Don't even be puzzled by it. What is he saying? And he said, as if something strange is overwhelming you. In other words, he was saying, when you're going through a difficulty, don't be asking yourself things like, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? I don't get it. That's what he was saying. That's what bewildered means. He said, like something strange has happened to you. Have you ever gone through something and then you're like, what's going on? Or why is this happening? Well, Peter is saying, don't walk out the fiery trial that way. Peter is saying, don't be bewildered by it. Don't be confused. If you're going through a trial, don't go, oh my God, what's happening? Why is this happening? Is this something strange? Or I don't get it. What's going on? What's going on? Peter said, don't walk out trials like that. He said, instead, and then he gives us the instructions. He said, don't walk out a fiery trial as if you're confused. Don't walk out a fiery trial as if, you know, well, did I do something wrong? Or, you know, what's going on? What's happening? Peter was saying, beloved friends, life is going to get extremely difficult. As a matter of fact, Jesus told us. He said, in this world, you will face many trials. But rejoice, because I've already overcome the world. So Peter's saying, why are you freaking out, so to speak, in our language? Why are you losing it? Why are you freaking out as if something strange has happened to you? He's saying, don't you know we live in this world? There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be tests. See, tests are important for us because they purify us. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that just like gold is refined in the fire, so our hearts will be refined in the fire. Tests are there to refine us. Tests are there to purify us. So when we go through a difficulty and we're going through extreme tests and difficulties, he said, don't be bewildered. Don't be confused. Don't be, you know, puzzled. Oh my God, what is going on? I'm going to die. What's going to happen to me? Oh my. He said, stop it. As if something strange were happening to you. As if you don't understand. Well, now you do through this podcast. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to face situations that are hard. And he said, like, if something strange is happening, you know, we look at it and like, well, why is this happening to me? You know, this is so strange. No, this is the devil hates your guts. The devil hates our guts. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. Oh my God, why is this happening? Because there's wicked people on the earth. Oh my God, why is this happening? Because God allowed the test. Why? Just like the Holy Spirit led Jesus into a wilderness to be tested and tempted by the enemy. Hey, you're going to come out purified. Hey, you're gonna be able there to demonstrate who your God really is. It's in the fiery trials that Job understood who his God was. It's in the fiery trials that we see Joseph when he's been through all kinds of tests and difficulties in his life, that we find that Joseph went from a man who probably battled a little bit of pride to a man who was so refined, to a man who became second in command. Peter is saying, stop acting like it's weird. Stop freaking out about it. And then he tells us, instead, my second point, rejoice. That's what he tells you and I to do, to rejoice. He's saying, because you are sharing in the suffering of Christ. Now, when you look at, you know, 1 Peter, and you look even in the book of Acts, you'll find that the apostles and the disciples found it. And it says there in the scripture in the book of Acts, it says that they found trials and tribulations, and to suffer for Christ, it was a privilege. It says that they looked at it like such a privilege. They would look at the difficulty and they would say, wow, we get to share in the suffering of Christ. I think we need a little bit more of their character nowadays, because we go through a difficulty and we freak out. We go through a trial and we want to just throw in the towel because, oh my gosh, I had such a hard week. Listen, Peter is giving us the solution. And then he says in verse 15 and 16, he said, let none of you merit suffering, look, as a murderer. You don't merit suffering as a thief or a criminal or as one who meddles in the affairs of others. If you suffer for being a Christian, don't consider it a disgrace, but a privilege. He said, glorify God because you carry the anointed one's name. He said, if you're going to suffer, don't suffer because you murdered somebody. If you're going to suffer, don't suffer because you were a thief. If you're going to suffer, he said, none of you merit suffering as a murderer or a thief or a criminal or as one who meddles in the affairs of others, because that can really cause suffering in your life. He said, if you suffer for being a Christian, he said, don't consider it a disgrace. Don't freak out. Don't be puzzled. Don't be confused. Rejoice. He said, it's a privilege. What do you mean it's a privilege, Apostle? How can suffering be a privilege? Because if you share in the suffering of Christ, Peter is telling us, you will share in the glory of Christ. See, we don't suffer for nothing. When you suffer for being a Christian, there is a recompense for that. When you suffer, Jesus said it. He said, if you suffer for me, if you suffer because you are doing things right, you know, the mere fact that you are undergoing a trial or a difficulty doesn't necessarily mean that you did something wrong. Sometimes it means you did something right. Sometimes when we are on the right path, it doesn't mean that we are never going to encounter a difficulty, a situation, or an attack or a hardship. It means that sometimes when we are on the right track, sometimes what happens is the enemy doesn't like that. So he tries to derail us, try to get us off track. So the mere fact that you're saying, but I've not done anything wrong, I've been serving God, how could this have happened to me? I gave my life to Jesus. How can this be happening to me? Peter's telling you, why are you confused? Why are you puzzled? Why are you bewildered about it? Rejoice. Because if you suffer for Christ, he's saying you will also receive the glory of Christ. What does that mean? Well, Psalm 34:19 says it. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous, and not one will be broken. What is the psalmist telling me? He said, the Lord's going to come and rescue you regardless. That's the God that we serve. If you suffer for Christ, you will also receive the glory in Christ. You will attain also a greater glory. You will receive the benefit. See, Jesus was resurrected. Yes, he died on the cross, but he resurrected on the third day. So there might be things that you feel are perhaps constantly, or the difficulty is making you feel not necessarily overwhelmed, but because we spoke about that last time, but it just makes you feel puzzled. It makes you feel, you know, just bewildered. But Peter is saying, don't be confused about it. Don't act like something weird is happening to you. He's saying, just like Jesus died, he also was glorified. See, on the other side of that difficulty will be the glory of God. God's glory will be seen through that difficulty. God, if you look at all the scriptures and all the hardships that everybody in the Bible faced, that walked it correctly, that obeyed God in the midst of it, they all came out on the other side with glory. God always got the glory. See, God's not going to shame you. God is not going to allow his people to be disgraced. Peter's telling us, he said, you won't be disgraced. In other words, you will not be shamed. God says, I will never shame the righteous. He says he will never shame the righteous. That means that you will never be ashamed, that God is going to get glory out of that difficulty, out of that situation. So what is Peter telling us in summary? He's saying, don't walk out any difficulty. Don't walk out any trial and freak out. Don't walk out any problem that you're facing right now and wake up and freak out about it. No matter what news you receive, no matter what the news is saying, no matter what you are walking, do not freak out, but rather rejoice. Well, how am I supposed to rejoice? I think that's supernatural. I think that to rejoice in the midst of a difficulty, it requires you to be intimate with the Father. When you are intimate with the Father, he begins to speak to you about that difficulty, about that situation. And he'll release promises to you. And he will release what he's going to do with it. And he says, rejoice. Why? Because you've suffered, but you're also going to receive the glory out of this. In other words, God is going to get so much glory out of this situation that when you talk about it in a year from now, a few months from now, when you talk about it, you're going to have such a great testimony to tell your kids, your grandkids. You're going to tell this testimony of the goodness of God, of how God turned it around for the good. Rejoice, because God is going to get the glory. So I leave you with the words of Peter. Do not freak out. Do not be bewildered, but rather rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Well, what am I supposed to rejoice about? Rejoice because God is still with you. Rejoice because his presence is still with you. I gave a preaching recently, and I'll end with this, where Paul, and you look at Paul on the day that he was in the book of Acts, and he's worshiping. He's been imprisoned, and he's there in the prison with shackles around him. You know, his feet are tied to shackles, and the guards are all around him. And the Bible says that about midnight, the doors swung open. While they were praising, they were worshiping, God gave them a huge breakthrough. They could have broken out of their difficulty. But Paul doesn't. He doesn't run. Everybody else is running. Guard looks at Paul and said, Paul, you can go now. But Paul says no, which tells us something that Paul understood. And then he makes reference there. And he said, the Lord is here. Because Paul understood that our greatest breakthroughs and our greatest freedom isn't coming out of a difficulty, but rather having God in the midst of a difficulty. I think we need to remember that. We need to remember that God is going to get glory, and I can rejoice right now. Why? I can rejoice because God is with me, because God has not left me, because I can still feel God's presence. I can rejoice. Why? Because God is still on the throne. I can rejoice. Why? Because God, the Bible says that his word will not return void. His word, it says, is dependable. His word, everything that he has promised is yes and amen. I can rejoice. Why? Because God still has a plan. What is it? I don't know. I just know I depend on him. I just know that I trust him. And I just know that on the other side of this, he's going to get so much glory out of this situation. So I encourage you from the wise words of Peter, stop freaking out. Stop being confused. Stop going, oh my God, what's happening? Stop it. And just rejoice. Find something to rejoice about. This is maybe a time where you're getting closer to the Lord. This is a time maybe that God is using to purify your heart. This is a time where God is maybe using it, like Proverbs says, that the beating is actually causing you to become a better person. Can you believe that? That's what Proverbs says, that the beating that we receive is actually causing us to be purified. Well, that doesn't seem so much fair. Well, perhaps, but when you look at it through intimacy and through God, God uses everything that the devil meant for destruction. God uses it for good. God does not waste a single trial in our lives. God is faithful. Whatever difficulty, as long as it takes, you rejoice. And every day you rejoice in the Lord. Let me tell you, I think that is a battle weapon. I believe that rejoicing is a battle weapon. Because the devil hates to see you rejoicing. He wants to see you miserable. He wants you to wake up in the morning and be sad and look depressed. Why? Because you lose your God-given authority. Because you lose even that legal right to fight. See, nobody can fight well when they're depressed. Nobody can fight well when they're sad. Nobody can fight well when they feel so discouraged and so bewildered and so confused. And that's where the devil wants you. That's why Peter said, hey, on the other side of this, you're going to have so much victory. But you got to rejoice. I believe rejoicing is like putting acid, lemon in the eyes of the enemy. I believe rejoicing is like causing him to feel in anguish. I believe that you put your enemy in anguish when you rejoice. Because he's looking, oh, I created this problem, and I created that problem, and I created that situation because I want to make a miserable Christians. Did you know that is the spirit of Python? The spirit of Python wants to make you a miserable Christian, where he brings trial after trial after trial in your life to make you a miserable Christian. But I came to you in this podcast in the name of Jesus to drive out the spirit of Python, to drive out that spirit that is causing you to feel so miserable. Get it out in Jesus' name. And you rejoice in the Lord. You rejoice in the Lord. Every day, rejoice in the Lord. But I don't have anything to rejoice. Find something to rejoice. You've got breath, don't you? You got hands still. You can clap. You can worship. You can praise. You still have the presence of God. Rejoice. And the Bible says, and again I say, rejoice in the Lord. Look what he says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord. It's time to rejoice. You want to make the devil miserable in your life? Rejoice. Because he's not going to know what to throw at you afterwards. He's going to say, I used to use that. Yeah, well, you can't use that anymore. And that's a sign of maturity. So I leave you with that. Rejoice. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for your people. I pray for the viewers. I pray for the listeners, God. And I declare today, God, that spirit of depression, of sadness, God, leave them now. I declare, Father, that spirit of bewilderment, God, of confusion, of being puzzled, God, questioning God, today, Lord, it is eradicated. It is cast out in the name of Jesus. And I decree and I declare right now that the spirit, God, of joy fall upon your people. God, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. Share this podcast with everybody you can possibly share with. I want to hear your testimonies. Please make a note right under it if you can and share it with all family. Share it with everybody you can because I believe that this is an hour. I love you guys and we'll see you guys next time.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you would like more content, a link to all of our social media will be provided in the description. And as always, subscribe and hit the notification button to get new uploads. And be sure to like and share. Until next time.